Well, good morning. I see everybody thanking Daniel for turning down the heat. It sure is good to see you this morning, and you just don't know the blessing it is, even though maybe you're too hot. It's a great blessing to have a nice place to come and to worship God, and we don't have anything to worry about. It may be a little too hot, but let me tell you, there's a lot of people in the world right now that are worshiping the freezing cold, so we certainly in this country are blessed. I hope you're having a great new year thus far. I see a couple of crimson outfits out there. Glad they represented the SEC so well. And just hope that Auburn does the same a couple of days from now. This morning, I want to talk to you about living a life that is pleasing to God. Living a life that is pleasing to God. And if you have your Bibles, turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10 will be our text this morning, and we're going to get five principles out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Five principles to help us live a life that is pleasing to God. The writer of Proverbs begins by saying, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." From these five verses, I want to draw five strong principles to help us in this new year live lives that are pleasing to God. The first one is right there in the beginning in verse 5, trust in the Lord. You know, history would have been much different if Adam and Eve would have trusted in God. Trusting in God means that we do what He asks of us. And I want you to know this morning that God doesn't lead us the wrong way. He has our best interest at heart. So when we look at His Word and when we read the words of the pages of our Bible, we can take it to the bank and we can know that what is said for our benefit. God's laws are not just rules for rule's sake. When He says, "Don't steal," it's not that God wants to sit up in heaven and laugh at everybody who's attempting not to steal. Or when He says, "Don't lie," or when He says, "Don't commit adultery," or any of the other things that God says, it's not like God is trying to just put rules on us that are arbitrary and have no purpose for our lives. God tells us to abstain from things and to not do things and to do other things because He wants to lead us down a path of righteousness, a path that is best for us. He doesn't lead us astray. He helps us along the way. God knows the results of what stealing looks like. He knows the results of living a life that is a lie. He knows the results of what it means to commit adultery. And He knows what it's like to have households torn apart because of an unfaithfulness of a spouse. He knows what it's like to have kids grow up knowing one parent and not knowing the other. God's rules aren't arbitrary. They're what's best for us. And when we look at God's laws and we look at God's rules, we as Christians need to trust Him. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 18 and verse 2. He says that the Lord is my rock. Church, that ought to be our theme as well. The Lord is our rock. The psalmist goes on to say that the Lord is my fortress. He's my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God is one that we can trust. He's our rock. He's going to be solid. He's going to be there through the good times and the bad. He's going to help us. He's going to be our fortress. He's going to be our deliverer. We need to trust in Him. The Bible tells us that God works all things for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. God can take impossible circumstances in our lives, and God can work those circumstances so that they work together for our good. But we as Christians need to trust and obey. Not trust and question, and not trust and try to do it our own way, but to trust and obey. And when we do that, it's amazing to see the doors that God opens in our lives. It's amazing to see how God can melt even the hardest heart, and God can make us and form us after His will. So the first principle for this new year is trust in the Lord. Secondly, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, man is made in the image of God. And at the very outset, Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan. And Satan struck at the desires that Adam and Eve had. And he really was prompting Adam and Eve to do what you want to do. Don't listen to God. He doesn't have your best interest at heart. He knows that the day that you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened and you'll know good from evil. And his appeal to Adam and Eve was this: Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree that God has told you not to, God's worried because you'll be just like him. And Satan appealed to their desires, and he asked them to do what they wanted to do rather than what God wanted them to do. And how true the words of Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 are. I know, O Lord, that it is not the way of man that he should direct his own steps. We see what life looks like when we try to direct our own steps. And when you look back at Adam and Eve and you look at the consequences of sin and you look at our own lives and the consequences that we pay for sin, church, it's much, much better for us to not lean on our own understanding. Because our own understanding leads us astray. You don't have to look very far in the religious world to know that our own understanding leads us astray. How many denominations are there in the world today? And basically, people's idea of Christianity is attend the church of your choice. Not the church that delivers God's word faithfully and does exactly what he says, but whatever floats your boat. If you go to a church and you don't like what you hear, that's great. Just drive 5 miles down the road and go somewhere else. And we see that in our world, and we see that in our minds, and it really comes from postmodernism, and what rules the day is what I think or what my opinion is. You know what Proverbs says about what we think or what our opinion is? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. There's a way that seems right, but the end is death. Church, we shouldn't lean on what I think or what my opinion is, but what God's opinion is. What God's word is. You remember at the judgment scene when people are appearing before Jesus and people are being judged based on what they've done with their lives. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked some of them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you to do?" We as Christians must let God's word be our guide. That must be our understanding. Because if we lean on our own understanding, our own heart's desires, what we think or what our opinions are, church, is going to lead us astray. And that way may seem right to us, But just like the writer of Proverbs says, the end is death. The end result is having to stand before God and to give an account for what we've done with our lives, for the things that we've taught, the things that we've believed, and the things that we have relied on. And church, I don't know about you, but when I stand before God to be judged by His Word, I hope that I've relied on His Word. And I hope that I can hear Him say, "Well done." Not, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you go through the motions and you look Christian, but really you're not?" Number three, acknowledge Him in all of your ways. God is our Creator, and we must worship Him. Many don't acknowledge God for whatever reason. A lot of people will say that they've never seen God, so how can they really trust Him? And the reality is they haven't seen God because they don't have the proper eye. They don't have the eye of faith. And that leads many of them to atheism or agnosticism, where they basically just throw up their hands and say, "I'm going to live my life however I want to because I don't know if this God is real or not." And I don't know about you, but really what that says to me is, I don't want to have any rules or parameters in my life. I don't want to have any commitments. I just want to do what I want to do. And church, that's how so many in our world live today. But we as Christians need to acknowledge God in all of our ways. We don't need to stand by and take credit, because whatever I'm able to do in my life, the reality is it's because God's blessed me. I may be able to go out and work and bring home and provide for my family, but it's God's the one that has blessed me with that ability to work. It's God that has blessed me with the ability to preach. It's God that's blessed me with the ability to do whatever it is I do. And church, we should never, ever forget that. Because when we forget that it's God that sustains us, it's God that works in us, it's so easy to leave Him behind. It's so easy to draw attention to ourselves, stand up, and take the credit that's actually due to Him. So as John chapter 3 and verse 39 says, I think our motto as Christians ought to be this: He must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about me. It's all about Him. In all of your ways, acknowledge God. You know, the reality is that one day people are going to acknowledge Him sooner or later. But for many, it's going to be too late. Acts chapter 17, verse 32 says that He's fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all of them by raising Him from the dead. Jesus has already gone ahead. He's already conquered over sin and death. He's already paid the price that we owe. He's already conquered death and been raised from the dead. He is our example. And one day we're going to have to stand face to face with a man that gave His life for us, and we're going to have to give an account. And the question is, are we living lives today that are pleasing to Him? Or on that day, are we going to have to acknowledge Him? Because the Bible tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father in heaven. Are we going to have to confess His name, but then hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? If we're not acknowledging Him in all of our ways today, we're going to have to stand before Him and we're going to have to acknowledge Him, but then it'll be too late. So live your life with no regrets. Each day, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Each day, live through the eye of faith and have confidence that He is there. Number four, the principle from Proverbs is this: be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. Really, this is a warning against pride. And pride is so easy. It puffs up, and it's so easy to become proud, and it's so easy to take stock and to look at what we've done and to be proud of ourselves. But as the proverb says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, there's so many examples that we could look at from the Old Testament and the New Testament too of what pride does to a man. But there's no other greater example than Nebuchadnezzar. Back in Daniel chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, we find this man named Nebuchadnezzar, a very powerful leader of Babylon at that time. And the Bible says that at the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon?" And notice what he says. Notice this haughty spirit. Notice this pride, which I have built by my mighty power, a royal residence, and for the glory of my majesty. Verse 31 says that while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven among the men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Church, look at that example of what pride does. Pride puffs up. And you know, it's so easy to be like King Nebuchadnezzar. It's so easy to look at our body of work. It's so easy to look at what we've been able to accomplish, the houses that we have, the cars that we drive, the grandchildren and the children that we've raised. And it's so easy to just basically do what Nebuchadnezzar does. And we may never say, look at what I've done. But the way we live our lives may say, look at what I've done. And just like Nebuchadnezzar, we shouldn't be shocked when that pride leads to our downfall. When all that we've accomplished starts to crumble away until we know that the Lord Most High reigns. You see, it's impossible to be pleasing to God as long as we allow pride to take precedent in our heart. Because rather than being prideful, Jesus calls us to humility. He calls us to humble ourselves and each day take up our cross and follow Him. It's not a life of luxury, but it's a life that is very rewarding. It's a life that will get us to the other side to hear Him say, "Well done." So be not wise in your own eyes. Don't let pride rule your life. And finally, number 5, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. You know, Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. He told the people not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But he encourages them to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. We've got to realize that what I have isn't mine. God gives us things to use for a while, but the reality is nothing is mine. God's lending it to me, and my own life is on borrowed time. Each day we need to live a life that honors God, that is giving to God. Because the proverb says here to honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, and you'll be shocked at how much He blesses you. You know, there's only one time in all of God's Word that God says, "Tempt me." And it's in the book of Malachi when people are bringing lame animals for sacrifice. And God uses Malachi to call them back and to say, what if you were to go and offer this to your king? Would it be enough? Would this pay your taxes? Would this pay your debt? And the reaction was absolutely no. The king would laugh at us. He'd smite us. But yet God says, you don't think enough of me. You bring me these lame sacrifices. And God says, test me. Try me in this. And see, won't I open up the floodgates of heaven and rain down blessings so that you cannot bear to receive them. The one time that God says, test me or try me, is in relationship to our wealth. When we give back to God, the reality is we can't outlive God. We can't outgive God. His shovel's always bigger. He always has more, and He'll always give more. When we give God our wealth, when we give Him the first fruits of our lives, notice what verse 10 says. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. What I have isn't mine. It's my ability, it's my honor to give back to God. To give back to God from my pocketbook, to give back from God from my life, to give back from God from the sweat of my brow. To give back to God in so many ways, because He's blessed us so much. The question this morning is, are these five principles a part of your life? Are you trusting in God? Or are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in man's wisdom? Because it'll lead you the wrong way. Are you leaning on your own understanding? Or are you leaning on the words of God that are tried and proven? Are you acknowledge Him in all of your ways? Are you being not wise in your own eyes, but living a life of humility in realizing that anything that you are is because He's blessed you so much? And are you honoring the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce? Are you honoring God with life by giving back, by being a servant, by putting Him first in your life? That's the question you have to answer this morning. And maybe you're here and you've never obeyed God's word. You've never become a Christian, and you don't really know what it's like to trust in the Lord and what it's like to acknowledge Him in all of your ways, because you haven't started that journey yet. And this morning I want to encourage you to start that journey. It's a journey that's already been paved for you. It's a cost that's already been paid on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ laid down His life so that you could have everlasting life, so that you could have hope. If you believe that, all you need to do is confess His name, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He'll add you to His church. He'll call you His own and live a life that's faithful to Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, Stephen, I've done that. I've started that journey. But you know, I'm leaning on my own understanding. I'm not acknowledging God in all of my ways. I'm not living a life that would be pleasing to Him. I'm full of pride and I'm full of me, and I want my way and what I think is best, and not really what God says. I'm not trusting in Him like I should, but I want to start that journey again. You know, the great thing is that no matter where we are in that journey, if we fall away, if we slip, if we fall down, God will always help us back up. God will always forgive us, and God will always give us that second, third, fourth, fifth chance. That's the God we serve. And maybe you're here and you need that extra chance. If you're anyway subject to heaven's invitation, Daniel's going to lead us in a song. Don't walk out unprepared. Because the reality is, we're all going to have to stand before God. We're all going to have to give an account of how we lived our lives, the things we've done. Are you putting Him first? If not, come what again.